I am entering into one of those stretches. You know them. Bam, 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 one thing after the next. It's the time my extreme SJ envy comes out. SJ as in sensing and judging in the Myers-Briggs sense. That is, SJs are sensate people who naturally live in the land of reality, rather than my preferred position, 10,000 feet above it all, in the land of possibilities. And they are judging people who absolutely love to plan, then work the plan, then finish the plan without delay and distraction. I much prefer to discover, digress, dig in, depart, deliberate. They experience and decide. I imagine and discover. So last night was one of those damnable Sundays filled with anxious thoughts about all these projects in front of me and how I could ever reach the levels of excellence, or see the title above, levels of perfectionism that I neurotically demand of myself. One of those Sundays that hearken back to New Haven, Connecticut, and that mysterious dread about all the homework I hadn't done that weekend in college and how I was going to turn B's into A's. I still struggle with the pressure. Yesterday, I decided to meditate back-to-back sessions, and I heard this line from Tara Brach: perfectionism is the prerequisite for... Let me stop here for our shared reflection. Prerequisite for what? I'm thinking cutting a perfect diamond, or playing a piece by Segovia at a recital, or torching the perfect creme brulee, maybe. Perfectionism is the prerequisite for what? What do you think? Here is Tara Brach's answer. Perfection is the prerequisite for nothing but pain. Which is her statement more of, truth or self-deprecating humor? If this Read to Lead blog hits home, what might you do about your perfectionism? Three things. One, get a chuckle at yourself. This is life, after all. Who is perfect at anything? Two, feel what it's like to put so much pressure on yourself. Notice what it does to your breathing, your presence, your openness, your humor, see point one, or your ease. What it does to me is it gets me restless, anxious, and threatened. Number three, have a gentle conversation with that part of yourself that demands perfection from you. Here is the conversation that I just had. Question: I'd like to talk to my perfectionist self. Is this you? Answer: sitting up tall, clearing throat, looking professional. Yes, this is the perfectionist. Who are you? Question: a friend. I'm curious about you, and perhaps I can help. What do you bring to Dan? Answer: excellence, drive. I push him to be his very best. Question: may I ask, why is this important to you? Answer: well, it's important to me because that is my essence. If he's perfect, everyone will love and respect him, so that's what I work for. But I think it's important to him, too. At least he acts that way, like he wants to be great, but then he turns me off. Question: so you're trying to bring him this push toward excellence, but he's not listening? Answer: basically, no, he's not. He may start off right, but soon enough he scrambles, procrastinates, and fails to perfect his work. Question: and how is that for you? Answer: frustrating, sometimes downright infuriating. Question: does he ever meet your expectations? Answer: on the absolute rarest of occasions, although honestly I can't think of one, and many times he quits on me. Ah, I imagine that's frustrating. Answer: yes. Question: how well do you think your strategy to agitate for perfection works? Answer: honestly, given your question about whether he ever hits my mark, not so well. More generally, I'd say he mostly just tunes me out. So I guess I'm not helpful, and I'm certainly not appreciated. Question, why do you say that? Answer, the louder I get and the more I try to get him on target, the more restless he gets, the more distracted, the more balls drop. Question, so if I'm hearing you right, he gets frustrated with you, turns you off, and in turn, you get more frustrated with him. Yes? Answer, that seems accurate. Question, accurate, but or and disturbing. Answer, yes, because I'm trying to help him. Question, given this little conversation, do you have a thought of how you can help him? Answer, I don't know. Maybe try to hear him out. Maybe let him know I'm trying to help. Question, I think that's totally worth a try. This is what I would describe as an inner voice dialogue or inner voice journal process. The idea behind it is that we're not so much a single self, but more like a committee of people backstage, striving to play a part in the drama that is our life. And my experience is that the better we listen to those unique voices and strive to get to appreciate their value, the more we can integrate them in a positive way, rather than having them harping on us endlessly without benefit to us nor satisfaction for them. What do you think? Does it seem sensible, doable? I'd be happy to return to the theme if you find value in it. May you be gloriously imperfect this week as you lead with your best self.